Live Long and Prosper. Written by Neera Jeski. And read by Litra. A DC's Legends of Tomorrow fic, with the pairings Kendra Sanders, Leonard Snart, Ray Palmer, Mick Rory, and background Ray Palmer, Kendra Sanders. Recorded for DePatty for ITPE 2017. Summary. Kendra wasn't expecting Leonard Snart to be a sympathetic ear. Or, and this is more surprising, a fandom nerd. She's always had a bit of a thing for nerds. Okay, Snart says, walking into Kendra's room with two cups and a thermos. Let's talk about it. Kendra blinks owlishly at him from where she's sitting on the bed. She says, I don't really feel like drinking. Snart snags her one chair with a foot and yanks it forward, sitting down and totally ignoring her. He pours out the contents of the thermos, which are... Is that hot chocolate? With mini marshmallows, he confirms. Kendra makes grabby hands, even though she knows it's childish. Mercifully, Snart doesn't comment. He hands her the cup. So, let's talk about it, he says. About Aldous? She asks. I don't want to. Trust me, neither do I, Snart says. But I figure it's me or that guy who keeps butting into your personal space. And between the two, I figure you'd be better with a stranger. Carter isn't... Kendra's voice trails off. Yeah, that's what I thought, Snart replies. Trust me, my little sis has dated enough assholes, or, more to the point, my sister has broken up with enough assholes for me to know one when I see one. Why are you still with old C.H.?
We're soulmates.
Not a good reason. Next?
Kendra says. We apparently had a child together in a past life?
Snart quirks an eyebrow at her. That's just a fancy way of saying soulmates again, he says. A concept, FYI, that I don't believe in.
We literally reincarnate and fall in love in every lifetime, she points out. That seems like pretty good evidence.
No, Snart says. It seems like pretty good evidence that you were both hit with some magic bullet and then constantly bond over the same shitty circumstances. Or are you saying that Savage is also your soulmate?
Kendra shudders. Snart smirks triumphantly. Just to be contrary, Kendra says, I mean, I guess he could be.
Snart raises his eyebrows. Oh, you want to play, huh? Fine. Unlike you and C.H., Savage has a magic sense for tracking the two of you down. And he's apparently been in love with you. Continuously, for thousands of years. According to C.H., you guys just bump into each other. Coincidence-like, unless Savage gets you first. Which means, out of the three of you, Savage is the most likely to track you down. That seems pretty damn soulmate-like, if you take a certain stalking-like approach to soulmates.
Oh, God, Kendra says, making a face. No, stalking is not love. I volunteered at a domestic violence clinic. No, all the no.
So you're clearly not soulmates with the other guy you meet every lifetime, Snart says. So why are you with C.H.?
His name is Carter, Kendra points out, eluding the question.
His last name is Hall, Snart shoots back, unruffled. So C.H. is appropriate. Why are you dodging?
Kendra sighs. I broke up with a really nice guy to go with Carter, because I couldn't give up on the whole soulmate idea. And now I feel like... I don't know.
You put your eggs in this basket, so now you have to lie in it?
I'm entirely sure that isn't the way that saying goes, Kendra says. But Yeah.
That's crap, Snart notes.
Yeah, she sighs.
It is, but every time I think about breaking up with him, he keeps going on about how I haven't remembered my past lives enough yet, and how we've gotten together 208 times before.
I know people who break up and get back together more than that in a year, Snart says dismissively.
Has it occurred to you that he's done it before?
What, Savage?
No, C.H., Snart says. Soulmates is a hell of a convincing argument, and it seems like he gets his memories faster than you do. So maybe, in your past lives, he's done the same show-up-and-sweet-talk stick.
Possible, Kendra says, then sighs. But you're telling me I fell for it every time?
Why not?
Kendra rolls her eyes.
Even if you are soulmates, it doesn't give him the right to be a dick, Snart says.
It sounds like it pains him to talk about feelings. Kendra narrowed her eyes at him, belatedly suspicious.
Why are you being nice? Mick made me, Snart says immediately.
And why did Mick make you?
Snart rolls his eyes. He gets weird ideas.
Like what?
He thinks we'd get along, Snart says. I apparently need more friends.
Kendra's eyebrows go up.
He's known me since I was 14 and 4'6", Snart says. He gets to do that sort of thing.
I bet you were a shrimp,
says the woman with wings.
Wings I don't know what to do with. Why does Mick think we'd get along?
Snart sighs, all put upon.
Well?
You have a Slytherin scarf, he begrudgingly confesses. Do you know how hard it is to find someone involved in this superhero stuff that likes Harry Potter and who isn't Cisco Ramon?
Kendra starts laughing. No, you're right, she says, giggling. Cisco, he's actually the guy I dated before Carter. He said he initially got interested in me because I had my Enterprise earrings on one day.
Star Trek II, huh? Best captain?
Picard, but TOS is a better series.
Snart nods approvingly. Nice, though I always had a soft spot for DS9 myself.
You're a nerd, Kendra says, understanding striking like lightning. You're a total nerd!
Tell anyone and I'll deny it, Snart says.
But he's smiling, just a bit. Kendra scoots closer. Tell me what other series you like.
Well...
That had better be alcoholic, Kendra says darkly, her knees pulled up to her chest. Snart, who's just come in with another thermos, doesn't bat an eyelash.
Hot cocoa, he says. But yes, it's Irish.
I wanted to dump him, not for him to die, Kendra replies bitterly.
And now you feel like you shouldn't have been ready to dump him.
Kendra sighs.
Your "but I love him" wasn't subtle, Snark says. Smacked of guilt, actually.
Kendra buries her head in her hands. What if that was it? She mutters. What if he was my soulmate, and there's never going to be another chance to...
Actually, Snart drawls, cutting through her escalating self-pity, that's not something you should worry about.
Kendra looks up at him with a frown.
First off, that's the refrain of everyone who's been broken up with, ever, Snart says. You must know that.
Yes, but...
Second, you've got less grounds for it than most.
I think I have more grounds, Kendra says, unable to keep from being drawn into the debate, even though she knows Snart is doing it to distract her from her entirely justified angsty fest of self-pity. Jointly reincarnating hawk people is such a small pool of potential matches, you know? Ah, but that's precisely the reason you don't, Snart says triumphantly.
Kendra crosses her arms and arches her eyebrows.
Said it yourself. He reincarnates. We have a time ship. We can jump along to the next time he's at the age you find most attractive. Mid-twenties, early 30s, maybe older if you like him that way. Whatever, and pick him up then.
Kendra's surprised into a snort of laughter. That's terrible, she says. I can't just pick up a designer version of him.
Why not?
I just can't. It would be weird.
That sounds like a you problem.
Oh, man, Kendra says, starting to laugh in earnest. Just imagine if we stopped everywhere along the timeline and picked up another set of Carter and me. We could be like Attack of the Clones.
Now that would be weird, Snart says, wrinkling his nose, but there's a grin tugging at his lips.
That, Kendra says, with great dignity, barely suppressing her laughter long enough to do it, sounds like a you problem. Snart gives in and smiles.
Imagine that, he says. If we did that, you could dogpile Savage. One of you is bound to get in a hit, eventually.
Now I'm stuck wondering why the rest of you are here, Kendra says. I'm clearly the MVP of this team. Magic Savage-killing fingers and all.
I'm not sure you've noticed, Snart says dryly. But Rip Hunter isn't the most competent of planners. More of a Han Solo than a Leia Organa.
Nah, Kendra says. Not even. At least Han Solo had luck.
Maybe even the Force, Snart agrees.
Oh, you've seen that theory too? She asks, beaming when he nods. What do you think? Han Solo, accidental Force user? Yes or no?
I'm of two minds. On the one hand, it'd explain away the lazy filmmaking and add a lot more context. You know, the EU and all?
Certainly.
On the other hand, that inadvertently implies that virtually everyone useful in that universe has to have the Force to be competent.
Well, if you take the Force the way it's described in the original trilogy... Ray Palmer was flirting. So was Jax, but Kendra's not going to lie. Even if he was the one trying his hand, Jax is way too young for her. She does, as Snart joked, like them older. Even Carter had been at least 34. Well, he'd said he was, though she suspected he was maybe a little older. Not that it would have been a big problem for her if he was. It was just another example of him deciding for her that she'd have a problem with it, and acting in line with what he thought she wanted, rather than what she actually wanted. But she's not thinking of Carter now. No, she's thinking of Ray. Sweet, charming, nerdy Ray, who is totally her type. Sure, he's in his early 40s. Like Snart, a traitorous voice inside her whispers. But she likes them around that age, when they'd either gotten over the worst of their personality traits, or let them sink in. Either way, they were a lot more take-me-as-I-am, which Kendra appreciates. So she flirts back with Ray, just enough to see Jax withdraw from the field and give a small sigh of relief. She didn't want to have to talk to him directly about it. She wasn't a fan of confrontation. Of course, she's on a mission to kill a super-stalker psychopath that only she can kill. So clearly Kendra is going to have to get over her distaste for confrontation any time now. She brings that up in one of her late-night Coco talks with Snart, and they end up discussing the psychology of the reluctant heroes for 3 hours. As a real-life supervillain, Snart has an interesting perspective on the subject, to say the least. Still, Ray's nice. Nerdy in the way she likes. She kisses him once or twice after a mission. When they're stranded together in the 1950s, Sarah gives up on rescue almost immediately. Kendra inspects the area instead,
because while she might doubt the crew, she knows that Snart would never leave her stranded. Or Hunter, because he needs her to kill Savage. Which is what she should have thought of first, damn it. This crush is getting entirely out of hand. "I found marks on the ground," she reports to a bickering Ray and Sarah. Ray was objecting to Sarah's means of getting them a car, illegally, which Kendra thought was a bit naive of him. Cute, but naive. "So?" Sarah asks. "Two sets of marks," Kendra clarifies. "I think Kronos attacked again." "So maybe the reason they ditched us here is because they're dead," Sarah says. "Great." "You give up way too easily," Kendra tells her. Sarah crosses her arms. It's more of a teenager's pout than a mature woman's reaction. But whatever, Kendra's not going to comment. "At least this gets us time for you to teach me how to kill Savage," Kendra points out. "And we have a basic idea of where he was, so we could try to track him down again and finish the mission without the rest of the Wave Rider." Rip, mostly. "Interfering." Sarah's intrigued. Not much, unfortunately. She's prone to hopelessness and dramatic gestures, which tends not to work well with practical planning. Ray, annoyingly enough, is slightly disappointed by Kendra's suggestion that they all find a house together, to wait for help. He spends most of his time working on a device to summon the Wave Rider, yes. But he also wants to play house with Kendra. He doesn't seem to realize how awkward doing that makes things for Sarah. "Baby," Kendra says, "you can't get me lilies. Sarah hates lilies."
"I thought you'd like them."
"Ray, Sarah lives in our house. I know you were trying to do something nice for me, but you have to think about the fact that we have three people in the house." Sarah was currently masquerading as Ray's unmarried younger sister, for propriety purposes. "I kind of wish we were a decade or so forward," Ray says wistfully. "We could catch the first screening of Star Wars." Kendra thinks about how they're 8 years away from the first showing of Star Trek, 6 from the first Man from U.N.C.L.E., and winces. "Agreed," she says. "Who's your favorite character?" He grins at her, clearly trying for a bit of a swagger. "I was always a Han Solo guy myself." Kendra can't help but smile. "What's your view on whether he has the Force?" Ray blinks, losing the swagger.
"Why would he have the Force?"
"Because he's so lucky?"
"The movie doesn't say he has the Force."
"Yes," Kendra says patiently. "It's not like she doesn't know he wasn't familiar with the Star Wars extended universe. But do you think he could have it without knowing about it?" Ray shrugs.
"I don't know," he says. "The movie doesn't say he has it. Luke has it. And Leia."
"Yes, but imagine..."
"I don't know," Ray says skeptically. "Overanalyzing movies seems to ruin the magic, don't you think?"
Kendra sighs. "I like discussing alternate possibilities," she says gently.
"We can do that," Ray chirps. "Say, do you think that those monster movies, Attack of the Killer Tomato and stuff, are out yet?"
"Not quite what I meant, Ray." She eventually managed to get some discussion out of him. But by and large, Ray prided himself more on knowing every detail of a movie. The lines, the scenes, all of that. Then discussing it further. He also gets a job teaching in university, while Kendra is obliged to pick between garden nursery supervisor, librarian, and kindergarten teacher. And even those positions weren't exactly easy to find, even with fudged records. Being a black woman in the 1950s, when you're accustomed to the post-third wave feminism and nuanced racial understanding, however flawed, of the 2010s, is the worst. Maybe she could get a job copy editing in NASA and get a famous actress to play her in Hidden Figures. That's getting started around this time, right? Ray would like working in NASA. Even Sarah would think it was cool. Maybe I should leave, Sarah says a few days later. You leave and by God I will hunt you down, Kendra says through gritted teeth. Sarah pauses.
You don't want to be left in a happy coupledom with Ray?
It's the 1950s, Kendra says flatly. I'm a woman, and I'm black. Ray has a group of friends. I use the term lightly, that pat him on the back for being so progressive for marrying me, because I'm apparently, quote, really hot for a colored woman, end quote. And he feels like he now understands racism because someone said something mean to him about us being married. Once.
Once. Ouch.
At least he likes movies, Kendra said with a sigh. Replays of Universal Pictures' monster movie series are my rock in these hard times. Have you talked to Ray about this? A few times, Kendra says. Not as much as I should. I'm not really great with confrontation, you know? I made it very clear that we're not actually married, though. I'm pretty sure we're not even dating anymore.
That seems like something you should be clear on, Sarah says.
I wish Snart were here, Kendra says, unthinkingly. She's thought it so many times, it's almost not shocking to say. And she doesn't realize she's said it out loud until Sarah blinks at her.
Snart? Sarah asks, wrinkling her nose.
Ugh, why him? Kendra's mind jumps straight to the way his eyes light up, soft and fond and passionate, when they're talking about the shows and movies they like. How he never raises his voice, no matter how intensely they argue. And how she learned more about self-control from him than 100 of Sarah's lessons in fighting. She thinks of his smile, hard to win, but worth it. The stories he shares about Mick that make the gruff arsonist come off as practically cuddly. The fluid way he moves his hands. His cleverness. His face. Kendra says.
Well, he's a thief. We'd probably be living in a New York City penthouse, or an island in the Caribbean by now.
Sarah cracks a grin. Oh, man, unleashing Leonard Snart on the 50s would just be mean. To the timeline.
Oh, but so much fun for us.
We could be Hollywood starlets even now, with our deep-pocketed producer forcing directors to cast us. Kendra starts laughing, just imagining what films Leonard would force people to cast and direct. Sarah's not sure why Kendra finds it so funny, and Kendra can't really explain. Despite their conversation, though, Sarah does pack up and leave. She doesn't give them a destination. Ray is sad for her to leave, but Sarah's not gone 2 days. Before he proposes, they start having a weekly date night.
As friends, Kendra says firmly.
Ray pouts.
Is this because you're waiting for Carter? He asks.
No, Kendra says. It's because we're friends, and I've never lost faith in our other friends coming and picking us up, okay?
What does that have to do with whether or not we have a relationship? Ray asks, honestly puzzled. Is there something I can do?
Ray, Kendra says, putting her hands on his shoulders. We're two cords with only partially compatible plugs. You deserve a wholly compatible plug.
That makes absolutely no sense mechanically, Ray says. But I think I understand.
He's brave and tragic about it for a few weeks. Apparently, there's something worse than being Ray's hot-colored wife, and it's being Ray's hot-colored bitch of a wife that dumped him. But true to form, he gets over it, and they can finally start being friends.
You propose actual marriage to me, and I'll kill you, Kendra says sweetly.
Maybe I just like looking at rings, Ray replies, grinning.
Kill you!
Speaking of which, you haven't, stretched your wings recently? Wanna go to the Grand Canyon? We've saved up some. Hell yes, Kendra says, removing the romantic filter Ray had been using, where everything was happy and wonderful and nourished by their mutual romantic joy, and nothing could ever be bad. Was apparently necessary for him to start noticing things about other people, like depression and misery. Kendra's wings had definitely not been getting enough use. We should have a Halloween party, Kendra says. I'll go as Chiara, the hawk goddess. I'll get a cheap knockoff Cleopatra dress for it.
We totally should, Ray replies. Can I be a mummy?
Friends with Ray Palmer. Who'd have thought? Still, when the Wave Rider shows up, Kendra leaps in.
Jeans, she crows. Well-fitting jeans that don't cost $1 million. A washing machine that actually works. Proper coffee, Ray. The internet is back.
Movies, Ray says blissfully. All the glorious movies. Where's Snart? Kendra asks. I've got, like, a ton of original edition Masters of Science fiction books signed, and I want to show him. Asimov, Bester, the works. Rip looks awkward. That's when she finds out Snart was kidnapped by Kronos. But, luckily, their 2 years in the 50s had only been 12 hours for the rest of them, so there was still hope of rescuing him. Or, as Kendra learns in Nanda Parbat, of him rescuing himself and them.
Why'd you try to set us up in the first place? Kendra asks Mick, sitting in the cell.
What?
Snart said you'd forced him to come talk to me because you said we'd get along. Mick stares at her.
Not exactly the question I thought you'd go with, Birdie.
Well, I figured everyone else has covered the what happened, why did you, why not stop parts, Kendra says. Also, I lived with Ray Palmer for 2 years because of you. I figure trying a page from his book of the cheerfully, charmingly self-obsessed wouldn't hurt. Mick snorts despite himself. So, Kendra says, Snart, me, what was your goal?
You dating Palmer now? Mick asks instead.
I would kill him if he tried, Kendra says. We're just friends.
You use the phrase kill a lot more freely now, Mick observes.
You know what's good for murderous rage? Kendra says. Living in the 1950s. And not being able to advocate for change too quickly. That's what. Do you know how excited I was when Mary Tyler Moore started to make pants a thing? It was sad. Mick is having some trouble keeping his face straight. You couldn't have even ditched us somewhere good? Kendra continues dramatically. Mick! Mick, I didn't even have Star Trek. It was still 6 years away when I left. It wasn't even a twinkle in Gene Roddenberry's eye. Mick is having a lot of trouble keeping his face straight. It's not very Kronos-like at all. Len was totally right about Mick having a great sense of humor. I didn't even have the man from Uncle, Kendra says, throwing her hands up and pretending to swoon. And I even missed all the good 50s movies. We got there too late for Singing in the Rain, or Forbidden Planet, or even The Day the Earth Stood Still. You know what I had? I had Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur!
Pretty sure North by Northwest came out around that time, Mick says diplomatically.
Ray and I literally threw a party when Some Like It Hot came out, Kendra says flatly. An honest-to-God party. We had canapes. Mick has to put his hands on his mouth. Ray wore a dress, she adds. My dress, actually. I was angry for days. He stretched it all out. Mick finally cracks and starts laughing. Kendra smiles.
That's why,
he says, wiping his eyes. That's why what?
You and Snart. You're both drama queens, Mick says. Figured you'd get along.
I mean, we do, Kendra says. We're friends. Mick sighs.
Maybe it's the time I spent traveling through time for the Time Masters, he said. But I just don't have the patience for this. Do you or do you not want to bang Snart like a porch door in a hurricane? Possibly while discussing dumbass sci-fi television shows.
They're not dumb, Kendra protests immediately, then flushes bright red.
Knew it, Mick crows. He does too. Go forth and get it on.
You don't even like us right now, Kendra yelps. Stop trying to hook us up.
At this point, I'll take the win.
Tell me, Kendra says, curled up in Len's arms. He preferred Len to Snart, in private, apparently. Do you two always solve your problems by beating each other up? Mostly, Len says, shifting a little so she won't rest on his bruises. It's a bad habit that I think we're starting to get too old for. You think? Hey, it's worked for us so far. Do you also regularly try to set each other up on dates while attempting to murder each other? Mick said he didn't kill me for two reasons, Len says. One, he's confused and angry and doesn't know what to do now that the Time Masters don't have their boot at his throat with whatever they did to his mind. She can hear the anger in Len's voice, the only part of it that's still aimed at himself. Two, he said killing me before we got together would defeat the whole point of doing it. He has a point, Kendra agrees. I like you alive. Did you really give him photos of Palmer in a dress? Yeah, we had a Canonflex SLR, top of the line for the 1950s. He's still sniggering about it, Len says. He sounds slightly bemused by it all. Good, Kendra says. Mick and Ray were getting along surprisingly well. Kendra had been sneakily drawing on all of her Parent Trap fic tropes to try to encourage it for the last week straight. Now, please, for the love of God, let's talk about something fandom that isn't from the 1950s. Len grins, an actual grin, crooked and teeth showing. Not his usual smirk. Well, he drawls, if you ask so nicely. I keep getting flashbacks to my past lives with Carter, Kendra tells Len, because open disclosure is important in a relationship. Or so Len says, anyway. Honestly, at this point, Kendra would feel bad not disclosing important details, after Len's excruciatingly painful list of why you shouldn't date me, I'm an awful person with a terrible backstory. Len blinks. Okay, he says. It come with an emotional contingent that makes you want to get back together with him? Yes, Kendra says. And it's annoying because I remember how much of an ass he was to me, but little Miss Me from the 1940s thought that was him being dashing. Ah, feminism. Past me had such low standards, Kendra grouses. So many times. You were right, by the by, about him always getting his memories back first. Did I tell you about the time he bought me? He what? Pre-American Civil War, if you get my gist. Len makes a horrified face. Yeah, the whole master frees you and marries you thing is even less romantic when you're living it. I'm pretty sure the whole community thought Savage killing us was justified. Awkward. No kidding. Anyway, just an FYI. I'll be sure not to hold it against you if you start shouting his name in bed, Len says solemnly. Say, which name will it be? Carter, Joe, Khufu, Bob. I'd like to think he was a Bob once. Maybe a Dick. Kendra starts giggling. Maybe I'll switch it up each time. It'll be like an episode of Sliders gone horribly wrong. Maybe I'll do them all at once, to the tune of Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Sydney Carter, Freddie Lester, Eddie Alla Douglas? Oh my God! That scans, you bastard!
What do I do now? Kendra asks. There's a Carter clone, except his name is Scythian Torvill. I assume he got beaten up a lot as a child this time around. And he presumably has a whole bunch of memories I don't. I feel like I owe him some obligation to break the brainwashing, you know? But at the same time, he'll probably assume that I want to get back together.
Why are you asking me? Sarah says helplessly.
Because everyone else is useless, Kendra says. Obviously.
Sarah crosses her arms.
Useless how?
Kendra raises a finger.
Ray thinks I should get back together with Carter, because it would be a narratively satisfying arc.
Ugh, it would not, Sarah says. It's only narratively satisfying if you put yourself in the guy's shoes. Come on already.
He's trying, Sarah. I saw him reading a book on privilege yesterday.
Only because Mick told him he had to.
Well, yes, Kendra says. Ray is ridiculous when he's trying to win someone's attention and interest, and Mick is taking full advantage of that to educate him. I don't see the problem. I should have done that.
Give yourself a break, Sarah says. It was the 1950s. There weren't any books on cis straight white male privilege yet.
I know, but still...
As I was saying, she lifts a second finger. Rip doesn't actually give a damn about any of my issues except insofar as we stopped Savage. Now that Savage is in the brig with evidence that he manipulated time, he's super excited about bringing him into the Time Masters and getting both his family and his old job back. Questions about Carter are just annoying to him.
Sarah nods.
Third finger. Jax just starts running the other direction every time I show up, saying he's not ready for this.
Sarah snorts.
Maybe I should do that.
You can't. I've locked the door.
I like this new assertive Kendra, Sarah says. Very sexy.
Shush. I tried to ask Stein, but, well, he married his first girlfriend out of college, and they've been disgustily, happily married science nerds for half of forever. He has literally no idea what you do with conflict. Or people that you don't want to date that want to date you. He tried to compare it to that one time an undergrad developed an awkward crush on him.
Sarah laughs. I assume you started running away at that point?
Got it in one.
Well, why don't you ask Snart or Rory? Sarah asks. I can see why you wouldn't want to ask Snart, but Rory?
I asked Mick, Kendra says with a sigh.
And? He's in favor of killing Savage now and letting Scythian go back to his timeline.
I mean, yes, I know it makes sense. I just feel bad about it.
What about Snart? He threatened by it?
He suggested a threesome, Kendra sighs, so I could see what I really wanted.
Sarah's eyebrows go up. Snart offered you a threesome with two hot guys and you said no? Is that threesome offer open for girls, too? Snart's a dick, but he's pretty.
I don't want to sleep with Carter, or Scythian, or whatever.
Then don't, Sarah says logically. You can rescue the guy because he's your ex, and you don't want him to be horribly brainwashed without wanting to get back together. If Snart's not threatened, you shouldn't be.
I guess.
But seriously, let's kill Savage.
Rip won't let us, Kendra says glumly.
See, getting his old job back. Consider us ditched the second that happens, by the way.
No kidding, Sarah says, also sighing.
Well, it was fun while it lasted.
Are you happy now? Can we stop talking about feelings and get back to hitting each other with sticks in a nice, emotionally stoic womanly fashion?
Yes, Kendra says, getting up to unlock the door.
That sounds nice.
Also, seriously, regarding that threesome.
Sarah?
What? He's hot. You're hot. And I'm bi. You're insatiable. That's what you are. Don't forget indiscriminate, Sarah says with a grin. Insatiable, indiscriminate. I need another I word. Irritating? Oh, you're going down, Miss Featherbutt. Kendra decks Carter. Sorry, Scythian. In the face when he suggests getting back together after Savage is finally dead. Then she knees him in the balls. Then she... Mick grabs her around the waist and walks away while she's still wriggling frantically in attempt to go hit Scythian some more.
Calm down, Birdie, he says.
Let me go, Mick!
It's not his fault Snart did what he did, Mick says gruffly. You don't have to take it out on him.
If I hadn't been so stupid as to let him live... That part was shouted over Mick's shoulder at a still moaning Scythian. Then we wouldn't have been there in the first place!
Yes, Mick says quietly. We would have.
Kendra stops struggling. Mick!
The Time Master's had a plan for Savage, he says.
His voice is still too quiet.
Trust me when I say they wouldn't have stopped once we succeeded. They would have kept going, and going, and going, until they got us all under their thumbs. And we wouldn't have been prepared for it, neither. Snart wouldn't have gotten him and Sarah to a hiding place, because he's a paranoid fuck. And then we'd all be in their cages, and in their chairs, and back under their boot heels.
Mick, Kendra says, you know it's not your fault, right? Mick shrugs.
I'm the one he swapped out for, he said bitterly.
Because you wouldn't let Ray die, Kendra says. Snart understood. You know he did.
I know, Mick says. That's why he asked me to forgive him, before he knocked me out.
He swallows, shakes his head.
I don't know if I can.
He was your best friend, Kendra says. You were friends for 30 years. You don't have to be sleeping together to feel bad about him being gone. Her back straightens, even though Mick has yet to put her down. Damn, that man is strong. Kendra isn't that light. If Ray is giving you any shit about mourning...
No, no,
Mick says, cracking a smile. It's kind of a pathetic smile, but it's a smile.
He's being okay. He tried to suggest being partners right afterwards.
He what?
I told him off, Mick assures him. He figured out the problem with what he said pretty quickly. He's being better now.
I'm still going to punch him, Kendra says.
We let you murder one guy and suddenly you're all violent, Mick teases, putting her down. What would...
His voice cuts off. He'd meant to joke, what would Snart think of you now? Probably followed by,
he'd think it was really hot, actually. He likes violence.
They couldn't make that joke anymore. Kendra's eyes filled with tears.
Don't turn on the waterworks, Mick warns. I don't...
She launches herself at him, wings unfolding to give her extra leverage, and wraps her arms around his neck, burying her face in his shoulders, and bursts into tears.
Do the touchy-feely stuff, Mick concludes.
After a minute, though, he gives in with a sigh, wrapping his arms around her and permitting her to wrap her wings around him in return. Kendra lets him pretend that the wetness on her shoulder isn't his fault. It's the least she can do after snotting all over his sleeve. She's an ugly crier. Oh, Len. She misses him so much. Mick tells her stories about him. He was black and Jewish and proud of it. She'd known that, but she hadn't heard about the holidays that went wrong. Len had never had a chance to tell her about them himself. But it's not the same. She misses him.
Kendra?
Mick! Kendra exclaims, bouncing over to her door and embracing him. What brings you to my humble apartment? Not here to deal with a local aberration, I hope. She'd refused to continue on the Wave Rider's mission afterwards, while Mick agreed to keep going. Neither of them had held it against each other. He'd introduced her to Lisa, though, which had been nice. They're friends now.
Depends on how you define it,
he replies, picking her up for a quick hug. He looks better than he did when he left, standing strong and tall and looking healthy.
Local, yes. Aberration, also yes. Not so much with the dealing with.
What do you mean? Mick coughs.
So, the resurrection thing, he says.
Yeah?
You know how Carter always got his memories first?
Kendra nods, wondering why it was relevant. Scythian had caught a ride back to their era, insisting on being near Kendra. She'd gotten a restraining order and knocked out one of his teeth, before he'd finally gotten the hint that she didn't want him around. Lisa had threatened to gild his balls.
Seems like that's because you wanted him to.
Kendra frowns. What do you mean?
You're the one who had the power of reincarnation,
Mick exclaims.
Not him, but as long as you loved him, he reincarnated for you.
Kendra frowns. That would explain why he was always so irritatingly devoted to finding her, in every life. Okay, she says. I think I'm following you.
Basically, you each got a power, Mick says. You got reincarnation. He got the hawk powers, and you shared them because you were in love. Savage got immortality, as long as he stole your life force each time.
Right, she says. So what? You're telling me I'll lose the hawk powers because I'm not dating Carter Scythian anymore?
Next time you reincarnate, yeah, probably.
Okay, Kendra says. Not ideal, she'd kind of gotten used to them. But fine. I guess I can live with that.
Your power of reincarnating still applies, though.
Kendra blinks. Okay, not sure I'm getting your point. Did you meet a future version of me?
No, Mick says. We met a future version of your boyfriend, though.
You mean Carter Scythian? Mick grins. A real big, broad grin.
Carter Hall wasn't the guy you were dating.
No, Kendra agrees, a little mystified. I was dating Len. She cuts off.
No.
No, it couldn't. There's a cough at the door. She turns to look. Surprise, Len says. Kendra shrieks and pitches herself forward to grab him.
We figured you wouldn't want to wait until your next life to meet him,
Mick laughs behind her back.
Guess we figured right, huh?
Kendra's too busy kissing Len to respond properly. He's back.
We've really got to do something about meeting like this, Mick tells her.
It's the year 2455. The middle of the 25th century. Heatstroke, Kendra says. Heatstroke is a bad thing. Do not take it as your moniker.
It works for me, Mick says smugly.
I can't believe the two of you are now time-traveling policemen, Kendra grouses. Willingly.
Says the woman who got reborn as a Thanagarian.
At least I'm not going by the name Commander Cold.
Yeah, but you're the one dating him.
Ugh, why do I bring all of you with me every time I reincarnate? Again? Beats me, Len says, wrapping his arms around her waist. Maybe that one time we tried out the swinging thing did the job. Either way, glad that you do. Isn't Heatstroke a great name? I hate it, Kendra declares. I see why Mick picked it.
Len sniggers.
We're still looking for Ray's reincarnation, he says. We're pretty sure he's a Kryptonian in this life.
You're joking. Ray reincarnated as Superman?
Possibly Superboy, Mick allows. But definitely a guy wearing an S.
He's grinning in anticipation. Probably at the potential applications of heat eyes. Kendra starts laughing. This life's going to be a good one. She can just tell. The end.